Holding on Ches Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shlosha Achim, if you have three brothers, Shnayim Mem Nisuin Shtei Achoyos, two of them are married to two sisters, which is similar to the case in the first Mishnah of our parak. You had four brothers because we were dealing over there with the matter of Achos Kukosai. Here we're talking about that you just have one brother. Who has a zika with the two yavamas, or isho vito, or the same thing would apply if it wasn't two sisters, if it was a mother and daughter, or isho vas vito, isho vas bina, or one of them was married to a woman and the other one to her granddaughter. In any case, the point is that relative to each other, they're ervis because they're arayas, because the Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry two sisters, and the Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. So then they would need to do chalitza. They would need to do chalitza and not yibum. Now, if one of them was an erva to the brother, then of course we'd have the case of the beginning of the Masechta Chamesh Esrei Noshim Poitras Tzaretzeihem. Here, what it is neither one of them is an erva to him. But the point is, he can't do yibum with both of them because then there would be an Issur Arayas. But each one individually has a zika to him. Therefore, he can't do yibum, because by doing yibum with one, you have the problem of a chosik okasa. Each one of them is equally well zokuk to him, and each one is as well the sister or other relative of his skuka. But also you have the issue that if he does yibum with one, then he's going to be mevatel mitzvas yivamim, as we learned before. He's making it impossible to do yibum with the other one. Nevertheless, they have a zika, so therefore chalitza and not yibum. But here's the twist, which we haven't had before. Reb Shimon poter. Reb Shimon says that they're potter because we did have this briefly in the Gemara in the previous parak, that as we're going to learn in the Gemara over here, Reb Shimon says that when the two women are respectively arayas to each other, then there's no zika on them at all, and therefore they're potter, as we'll see in the Gemara. Hoysa achas man asur al of isur erva. Then again, if one of them was also to him as an erva, also bo mutabah hoysa, then the usual rule would apply, as we've had in the previous mishnayos, that he's also in her anyway, so therefore he's mutter and her sister, because her sister is not a host of kukosai. And Reb Shimon would agree to that as well, because there's no zika on the one who is, for example, his mother-in-law or whatever other relative. Isu mitzvah, isu kedusha. And again, if one of the women or both of them for that matter, is also to him as an isu mitzvah, namely a shniya, or isu kedusha, for example, she's a divorcee and he's a kohen, then chaltzas v'lo misyamas, then they're going to need chalitza and not yibum, according to the chachamim, because again, you still have the same problem as in the resha, where you have each of them has zika, and the fact that they're relatives of each other, the chachamim don't care about that. Actually, we're going to see in the Gemara that really applies according to Reb Shimon as well. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Reb Shimon poter b'shtei min chalitza min ayibum. In this scenario, where, for example, the two women are two sisters or mother and daughter, etc., then Reb Shimon is saying that they're both potter from chalitza and from yibum. Shenema v'isha v'choysa v'isika chalitzer. The pasuk says you're not allowed to take in marriage a woman and her sister to make them rivals, litzer melosh and tzara, implying b'shal shenasu tzaret zulazu. In a scenario where the two women are potential tzaras one to the other, namely over here, where you have a zika that makes them potentially tzaras, in the sense that we say that to a certain extent, the zika makes it considered as if they're already married. We're going to talk about that later on. Then there's no likuchen, there's no marriage with even one of them, meaning there's no yibum or there's no yibum and there's no chalitza with either one of them. We did learn in a previous Mishnah that when you have two to Yevamim, namely when we had the case of four brothers and two sisters, then we said Yikayim. Then we learned yesterday or the day before that we had a three-way machloikas, what the Shama and the Hillel hold. We had Rabbi Yezer saying the Shama is Mekel, Abba Shol saying the Hillel is Machmer, and Rabbi Shimon is saying there was no machloikas at all. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to keep them. So Tosfos says, so that case was talking about where there are two surviving brothers. So then we can't say that. Then we can't say that they're not more tied to one brother than the other. So therefore, we don't really consider that they're tzaris to each other as a result of the zika. Therefore, Reb Shimon wouldn't be talking about that case. He's talking specifically. That's why our Mishnah specifically presents the case where we have three brothers and two of them die. Where now the two women are up for yibum to one brother, and then they're tzaris to one another. If he were to do yibum with both of them, then the result is he'd be married to two sisters, which he can't do. And therefore, Reb Shimon says even before that, it's not even that. It's not even he does yibum with one and then the other one is potter because at that point she's an erva. Rather, Reb Shimon would say in that case, both of them are potter to begin with. But if there were two brothers, where conceivably, at least on a daraisa level, each one could do yibum with one, it's only derabbanan that we have the problem that they can't because of achos sikokasai, then Reb Shimon would agree that there is a zika in that case. And in fact, Reb Shimon had said that the Shama and the Sibyl don't even argue. They would say that if they married them, b'di'evad, they can stay married. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hoysa achas mehen chola. We said if one of these women was an Isser Erva, then he's Osir in her, and then he's Mutter in her sister, because then obviously there's no issue of a Hoysa Kokosai, because one of them is not Zokotayim at all. So the Gemara asked, why do we need to mention that again? Hainuhach, isn't that the same as the previous Mishnah, where we mentioned exactly that point, that if one of them is an Isser Erva to him, then he's able to do Yibum with the other? And the answer is, Reb Shimon Itzurich. The answer is that in our Mishnah, we're mentioning it in order to highlight Reb Shimon's opinion and tell us what he would hold in this case. Sakda Dechamina, because otherwise you would have thought to say, now, Reb Shimon is telling us that when you have two sisters and neither one of them is an erva to the surviving brother, all we're saying is that if he were to do yibum with one, then the other one becomes an erva to him. And Reb Shimon is saying that to begin with, the zika itself makes it considered that each one is an erva to him, and therefore he says they don't need chalitza or yibum. So therefore, ligzer mishum beza choyes na alma. You would think then that we should make a gzera that even in this case, maybe they should need chalitza because it might be confused with the case of two regular sisters. Meaning that so like this was saying that if one of the sisters is an Isser Erva to the Yavam, then he can do Yibum with the other one. But maybe according to Reb Shimon, maybe we shouldn't be doing that because people might confuse that with the case where neither of them is an Erva to him, and they see him doing Yibum with one of them, and they're going to think that they can do Yibum in that case as well. Neither one is an Erva to him, and according to Reb Shimon, that's not so because again he's learning from the pasuk that there's no zika, and of course if there's no zika, then she's also to him as his brother's wife. So you would think you should make such a gzeira, kamash malon, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that not even Reb Shimon is going to agree that if one of them is an erva to him, then she's completely out of the picture, and therefore there's no issue of isha lachos alisikach litzra. There's no issue that the zika makes them tzores to one another because there's no possibility of doing yibum with the one anyway, seeing as how she's an erva to him. So Rashi asks then, in that case, I mean, we also see that from the previous Mishnah. We had exactly that. We said in the previous Mishnah that in a case like that where one of them is an erva and the other one is not, then we do yibum and there's no problem. The answer is, Rashi says, because before we were talking according to the Chachamim, where according to them, the only problem is the Issur Drabbanan of Achos Sikukase. So fine, it's easy enough to say that if one of them is an Erva, we're going to override that Issur Drabbanan. That Issur Drabbanan doesn't apply because one of them is not Zikuka to him, and therefore only the other one is. But over here, we're talking according to Reb Shimon, Weird of Shimon is saying it's not a matter of achos kukose, which is the Rabbanon. We're talking about an isur daraisa over here. So therefore, you would think that we need to make a zera to up to fence in that, to make sure that that even in a case like that, he doesn't do yibum, so they don't come to do yibum in a different, you know, in a slightly different case where neither of them is an erva to him, and then it would be an isur daraisa. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us even Reb Shimon is not going that far. Then we said in the Mishnah, Isser Mitzvah Chola, we said if one of the women is also to him by an Isser Mitzvah or an Isser Kedusha, then we said we're back to the same case of Choltas V'loi Mitzyadmas. So the Gemara said, now the Gemara is assuming that this part of the Mishnah is according to Reb Shimon as well. So what do you mean? Didn't we just say, V'omer Reb Shimon Shtei Achoyas Loi Choltas V'loi Mitzyadmas? In that case, then Reb Shimon is saying that when there are two sisters or two other relatives, like we talked about, then they don't need chalitza or yibum. Why all of a sudden over here is the fact because one of them is an isur mitzvah? Are we saying then that they do need that they do need chalitza? After all, aren't we back to the same situation? Midaraisa, they could have done yibum. So in the case of isur mitzvah, at least the daraisa they could do yibum because it's only derabanan that you have the problem of them being shnius. In the case of isur kedusha, you would say fine. Midaraisa, they can't do yibum because, for example, she's a grusha and he's a kohen. But at least if they did kedushin or tofus, or maybe even we would say they could do the first bia. Daraisa, like we talked about previously, and dafchof because esa derichaloisa said by that first via. So why are we saying that now? Because there's an isur mitzvah, an isur kedusha in place, then Reb Shimon is going to agree that you need to do that you need with the chachamim that you need to do chalitza. Why, according to him, let's ignore the fact that there is isur mitzvah, isur kedusha. Focus on the fact that there are two sisters who are up for Yibum to the same Yavam, where Reb Shimon just learned from a pastor that on a Daraisa level there's no Zikah. So why all of a sudden did Rabbanan, are we requiring Chalitza? And the answer is, Gzeira Mishim Isu Mitzvah De'alma. The answer is because if you patter them completely without Chalitza, then people are not going to realize it's because of this Achos Zikuka, which according to Reb Shimon is something Daraisa, they're going to think that because one of them was an Isser Mitzvah, therefore that's why both of them were potter from Chalitza. People are going to think in a case where one of them is an Isser Mitzvah and the other one is not, and they're not sisters, people are going to think that a Yavama can go free in such a scenario when they're not sisters. So to prevent that, Reb Shimon is agreeing with the Chachamim that we need a Gzeira to make them do Chalitza, even though on a Daraisa level, there wouldn't have been a Zika at all. So Gemara says, "Hotenach ihi." Okay, that explains why the woman herself, who is an Isser Mitzvah, needs Chalitza. Achosa mai ikal meimer. Why would her sister need Chalitza? What would be needing a Gzeira? Why would we need a Gzeira on to say that her sister should need Chalitza as well? How could that possibly be confused with a regular case? The answer is Gzeira Achosim Shem L'Sadidah. Fine, but what we're doing is we're saying that the sister has the same problem because of her lasa. Lasa, Rashi says, it literally means her mazel, but the Gemara, Rashi says it's actually just an extra word. The Gemara could have just easily said mishum didah, because she the Isser Mitzvah requires chalitza for the reason that we said, because otherwise people are going to think that in general an Isser Mitzvah is potter from chalitza. Therefore, we also add her sister and say that she needs, and then her sister, who is also her sister-in-law from a different husband, from a different brother, and say that she's going to need chalitza as well to be on the safe side. Rashi just briefly says, in other words, mishum l'sadida the isur mitzvah. Rashi doesn't really elaborate. So Tosfos elaborates a little more. If you were to have a sister go free without chalitza, because Reb Shimon would say, after all, through zika they're tzaris to one another, and therefore he says there's no zika at all. Then you're going to think that the same thing would apply in general by an isur mitzvah. You're going to think in general, but we're one of the sisters, isn't it? You're going to think we're not sisters. We're one of the, we have two sisters-in-law. We have Reuben and Shimon's wives. And Reuben's wife is also by an Issur Mitzvah. And Shimon's wife is not, but they're not sisters. People are going to think in that case that also, that both of them are potter without anything. And it's not so, of course. The first one is going to need Chalitza because she's an Issur Mitzvah. The second one needs either Chalitza or Yibum because she has a regular Zikah. So the Gemara asks, we see we don't make such a gzera where one of the women is an erva to him. If one of them is also to the surviving brother as an issur erva, then we say that the erva herself doesn't need chalitza or yibum at all. And both the Chachamim and Reb Shimon agree with that point. And we don't say that we should make a gzera that the erva should require chalitza because people might not realize the distinction between whether she's an erva or not. Now, according to Reb Shimon, the fact is, Rashi adds, according to Reb Shimon, the fact is we're saying that the zika itself, the fact that they're two sisters makes that the zika itself makes them tsaris to one another, and therefore there's no zika. Therefore, there's no chalitza or yibum. So in other words, in effect, according to him, this is a case of erva. So why would Reb Shimon be saying that when one of them is an erva to the brother, then she doesn't need chalitza or yibum, and the other one can do either one? And in this case over here, where one of them is an issur mitzvah, then we would say that both of them need chalitza. What's the logic? And the answer is shiny erva de migma gmira lo inshi. The difference is because everybody knows that an erva is also to him. So everybody knows then that she doesn't need chalitza and that her sister is not the sister of a skoka. So therefore, people aren't going to think that her sister is potter without anything. The kola isla, and she has a curl. People know the distinction between an erva and not. So Rashi explains this that we're saying, that Reb Shimon is saying that when neither or one of them is an erva to the brother, but they're only relative to one another are they arayas, because they're two sisters, for example, then it's not so obvious that both of them are equally osur. And if you allow one of them to go free without chalitza, then people are going to think that both of them are potter without chalitza, where one of them, after all, was an issur mitzvah, and then people are going to think in general that an issur mitzvah is mutter. Then Rashi gives a further explanation, and then the Dibra Maskum Migmag Miri Inshi, where the Marsha explains that this is actually a second explanation in Rashi. This is not a continuation of the previous explanation, that there's a difference. Migmag Miri Inshi, people know that to begin with, she's not up for Yibum to him when one of them is an Erva to him, and therefore that her sister is not a Chos Skuka, and therefore they're not going to be Mater a Chos Skuka in general. So Marsha discusses, in other words, that the... That over here really that Rashi is being a little too brief over here, and we actually have two separate explanations in Rashi, which Tosfos Yeshanim delineates them in more detail. One point is that a person who sees that the sister is potter without chalitza, we can assume that he would know of Reb Shimon's din. But then he's going to think also that the same thing would apply when the sister is an issur mitzvah, because after all they are tzaris to one another. Meanwhile, you're going to have somebody else who sees that issur mitzvah didn't have chalitza and didn't see whether the other one got chalitza or not. So now this other person who doesn't know what Reb Shimon holds is going to think that they did chalitza for the first one and not for the second one because after all there's a makam erva over here, and he's going to think that in general an issur mitzvah is potter, which she's not, when they're not sisters. And then you have further a second explanation that Rashi says that it's the point because people realize that one of them is, in the case of erva, that one of them is the one of them is not zokok to him, and the other one is. Whereas in the other case, they're not going to realize. In any case, so that's the bottom line. In other words, so according to Reb Shimon, was saying, if neither of them had an Isser Mitzvah or Isser Kedusha, then we would have said both of them are potter. But when we have the twist that one of them is an Isser Mitzvah or Isser Kedusha, then they're actually going to need Chalitza, because we don't want people to think that we don't want people to misunderstand the situation and think that in a similar case where there weren't sisters involved, that they should be potter, that some of them would be potter without Chalitza or Yibum. Okay, the Mishnah says, Shloisha Achim. Suppose you have a case, you have three brothers, Shnaim.
What's the halacha on this point?
Well, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon. The halacha is like the Chachamim, that we don't care about that on a Daraisa level, we're not concerned about the fact that they are potential tzaris to each other. Only Dirabbanan do we say we have the matter of Achos Sikukasai. So therefore, the halacha would be like the Chachamim, that regardless, doesn't matter whether there was Isser Mitzvah or not, either way, they need Chalitza, but not Yibum, whereas only in the case where one of the women was an erva to the surviving brother, then we would say that she's potter and the other one is chayev. So we wouldn't hold like Reb Shimon that where there are two sisters, neither of whom is an erva to him, we wouldn't say both of them are potter. We would say and on a daraisa level. Both on a deraisa level, one or the other of them would need yibum, and on a derabbanan level, we say that we can't, for reasons that we discussed earlier in the previous perek and earlier in this perek, either because we say yesh zika, and therefore midrabbanan, we consider that each of them is as if she was a chos ishtoi, or because even if we say ein zika, because we would say osto levatol mitzvah yibamin, you're not allowed to do things in such a way where you're preventing the mitzvah from being done with the other one at all, namely that once you do yibum with the one sister, then the other one is automatically off limits. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Shloisha Achin, Shnaim Nisuin Shtei Achoyes V'Echad Mukhne. Suppose you have three brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters, and the other one is unmarried. Now, for the truth is, for purposes of the scenario of our Mishnah, it doesn't really matter whether the third one is married or not. The important point is that two of them are married to two sisters. So various Rishonim talk about why, in fact, the Mishnah presents the case over here that one of them is unmarried, unlike we're going to have the following few Mishnayos on Daf Lamed. We're going to have several cases over there involving three brothers where two of them are married to two sisters and one of them is married to an unrelated woman. Why are we mentioning over here the fact that the third one is unmarried? So one reason is, as one reason which Tosfos Yeshanim says, is because the Mishnah is going to talk about over here a case where he winds up without. He winds up without either of the Yavamas. He winds up not married at all. And then the Gemara and the Mishnah is going to say on him, Oili, is going to say, Oiloi, woe to him. So therefore, we use that scenario. The poor guy ends up without a wife at all. But in fact, the same din would apply equally well if he was married. Anyway, Mes Echad Mibalei Achoyes. Suppose now that the brother of one, that the husband of one of the sisters passes away. So we can look at in the diagrams, we have diagram 151. So suppose, for example, Shimon passed away, and v'osaba mufna maimer, the unmarried brother Levi did maimer with Leah, which, as we've learned before, maimer is the equivalent of kiddushin. It's midrabbu. So we're going to talk about actually in the Gemara about the strength of maimer. What exactly does it accomplish? But basically, it means that instead of doing yibum with her or preparatory to doing yibum with her, he did maimer, which is that he gave her kesef or shtar. So he did that. Then the other brother Reuven died before Levi had a chance to do Yibum with Leah. Now, had Levi done Yibum with Leah, then there's nothing to talk about. Rochel would be potter because she's Achos Ishtar. But now the twist is that Levi had only done Maimer with Leah. So Beshama says that doesn't matter. The fact that he did Maimer makes it the equivalent of as if he had already married her. Therefore, the other one is potter because she's his wife's sister. So Beshama is considering that once he did maimer with her, he's already married to her to the extent that her sister is potter as a chos ishtar. Or Beshillel says no. The maimer didn't accomplish anything. The Maimer accomplished something Dirabonon, but not enough to say that her sister should be considered Achos Ishtar. Therefore, so yes, you have the same problem that each one of them is Achos Zikukosa. Each one of them has on a Daraisa level the same exact Zika to him. Dirabonon, okay, we're saying that Leah has a slightly stronger one as a result of her Maimer, but Daraisa, they have exactly the same Zika, and therefore we're back to the problem of Achos Zikukosai. So therefore, Motzias Ishte, the get of Achalitza, what he's going to have to do, he's going to have to do two things for Leah. He's going to have to give her a get as well as Chalitza, because the get will undo the Maimer that he did. And then she needs chalitza, because on a daraisa level there's still a zika. The aishas ochiv b'chalitza, and then meanwhile he's gonna also have to do chalitza to Rochel Reuven's wife. So he ends up with neither one of them. Zuhi she'omru. So Basil says this is the Tana of the Mishnah says this is the case. The Chachamim said oy loyal ishtoy v'oy loyal aishas ochiv. Woe to him because of his wife. Woe to him because of his brother's wife. In other words, the poor guy ends up with neither one of them. Like this, he could have expected that he would do Yibum with at least one of them, especially the one that he had already done Maimer to, and instead he ends up with nothing. Which again, as Tosfos Yeshanim says, that's why the Mishnah presented the case where Levi himself wasn't married, because now the poor guy ends up without any wife at all, as opposed to if he had been married, at least he'd already have a wife of his own, and you wouldn't say Oiloi on him. So the Gemara says, Zuhi l'ma'uti mai. Now the last words of the Mishnah, when it says this is the case where the Chacham said, Oilay al ishtoy, but Oilay al eshesachiv, poor guy, he ends up with neither one of them. By the way, Tosfos brings over here, according to Beis Shammai, Rashi explains that even according to Beis Shammai, we're saying that the Maimer is still only Dirabonon, because midaraisa, the only thing that makes them married, that accomplishes yibum, is the actual bia. On the other hand, Tosfos says, I mean, in that case, then why would that be strong enough to pater Rochel completely from chalitza or yibum? If he said that the maimer that Levi did with Leah is effective only derabanan, then he'd still have a zika with Rochel on a daraisa level. So, Tosfos says that maybe what we mean is when Beis Shammai says Tetzi Mishum Achos Isha, he means if Levi then went ahead and actually followed up his Maimer with Bia. But then Tosfos goes on to say that no, what we're saying, the Gemara is going to explain later that Beis Shammai holds that to a certain extent Maimer is valid Daraisa, meaning in other words that we'd say. It is Daraisa, but nevertheless, it's not, as the Gemara is going to discuss, it's not necessarily strong enough it has the same strength as regular Kiddushin, enough, in other words, that Rochel is now considered Achos Ishtar. So this is going to be a machloikas that we're going to have, and we're going to touch on this later on in the Gemara, about what exactly does Beis Shammai hold, and actually touch on, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, what exactly does Beis Shammai hold about this Maimer? Is it strong? How strong or how weak is it exactly? According to Beis Hillel, we know it's pretty clear. It's only the Dirabanan, therefore it doesn't have any strength to override any Zika min HaTorah. So the Gemara says, Zuhi l'ma'uti mai, when we say in the Mishnah, this is the case where we say, poor guy, he ends up with neither one of the women. L'ma'uti mai, so what does that come to exclude? And the answer is Lama'uti Hach to Rabbi Yeshua. It comes to exclude a case where Rabbi Yeshua uses the exact same expression later on, towards the end of the Masechta. We have a case, we mentioned it briefly before, where the two brothers are married to two sisters, but the twist is one of them is a katana, where her kiddushin are only dirabanan, where her father, not her father, where her mother or her brothers or whoever married her off, where we know that that's valid only dirabanan, and therefore she can do miyun. So now, what do you do in that case? So suppose, in other words, that of the two brothers who were married to these two girls, one of them, the one who was married to the older girl who's already passed bas mitzvah, died, and now she's up for yibum to the brother who's married to her younger sister, who's below, who's still a ketana. So what do we do over there? So we have a three-way machlokes. What do you do? Rabbi Yeshua uses the same expression as in our Mishnah. He's going to wind up having to divorce his wife, the Ketana, and he's going to have to do chalitza to the older woman, because each one of them is going to be also to him on the grounds because with the Ketana, being that her marriage is only valid d'rabbanan, then therefore you have the problem that the other one is zokuk to him, and therefore she's a choisik kosei, and vice versa. Each one prevents the other one. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that there's no choice. He has to divorce the ketana that he's married to, and he has to do chalitza with the older one. So therefore, so our Mishnah, when it says zuhi sha'omru oylo al ishtav oylo al ish hasachiv, is saying the tana of our Mishnah is saying not like Rabbi Yeshua. Deloyav didn't kavasei. The Tana of our Mishnah is implying that we would not do like him. Ella, Ikudab and Gamliel, Ikudab Eliezer. We have the two other alternatives that we could do, like Rabbi Gamliel or like Rabbi Eliezer in that Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says that we tell the Tana, do miyun on your husband. That way it's considered as though you were never married. Then he's able to do yibum with your sister without any problem, because there's no achos kokose anymore. And Rabbi Gamliel says you don't necessarily need to tell her to do miyun. If she wants to do miyun, sure. But if not, then we wait until the ketana grows up, and then her kiddushin become valid on a daraisa level, and then at that point her older sister is potter on the grounds of achos isha. So our Mishnah, when it's saying that only in our case of our Mishnah do we say oylo al ishtoi oylo al ish hasachiv, is saying I don't hold like Rabbi Yeshua. I hold like either Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Eliezer. To be exact, we're showing him talk about that maybe Beis Hillel's opinion over here in the Mishnah, which implies that Yesh Zika wouldn't fit so well with Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, where Rabbi Gamliel's opinion is based on the idea that Ein Zika, and that even Mutul Levatul Mitzvahs Yivamin, you're allowed to do something to prevent Yivam from taking effect. So, okay, we're not saying that Beis Hillel would agree with Rabbi Gamliel. We're saying that the Tana of our Mishnah says that he might agree with Rabbi Gamliel. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Loi Tema Maimel Beis Shammai Koina Kinyan Gomer. Don't think that according to Beis Shammai, Maimel makes a complete Kinyan to the extent that she's completely like his wife. And if he wants to divorce her, the Boila Puki Sagila Begita, and if he wants to divorce her, all she's going to need is a get, like the regular case where a man does Yibum, and then afterwards, if he wants to divorce her, all she needs a get, not Chalitza. Ella, rather, Rabbi Elazar says, Maimel Beis Shammai, Eina Koina Ella Lidchis Betzara Bovan. According to Beis Shammai, the strength of Maimer is strictly that it makes it considered that her sister is considered achos ishtoi rather than achos sekukosei. Where if it was achos sekukosei, that would be only derabbanan and she'd need chalitza. Because we're considering her achos ishtoi, that patters her from chalitza. So that's what Beis Shammai is saying is what Maimer accomplishes. Ella Maimer Beis Shammai ain't a kona ella libchis b'tzara bovad. All it does is it pushes off the tzara. Now, Rashi explains over here the word tzara actually means the potential tzara, namely her sister. Tosfos discusses that at some length and says maybe not necessarily. Maybe it means in general the tzara. But in any case, so that's what Beis Shammai is saying. The Maimer is, they agree that the Maimer doesn't make them married for all purposes, just for purposes of what we're discussing in our Mishnah. Amar Rav Avin, Afanan Nami Tanena. And Rabbi Oben says, actually, we see this from the words of the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omim Yekaimu, where Beis Shammai says they're allowed, at the beginning of the Perek, rather, not our Mishnah, but the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, on Daf Chavav, where we had the case over there of four brothers and two sisters, and we said over there that according to Rabbi Eliezer's version of the Mishnah, which is what we had in the Mishnah, that Beis Shammai Omim Yekayim, that if the two surviving brothers married the two sisters, Beis Shammai says they're allowed to stay married, meaning b'di'evad, Yekayimu Ein L'chatchila Loi, implying L'chatchila, they shouldn't do that because of Achos Sikukosai. So now, so Rabbi Elazar says, you see from that, that the Shammai doesn't hold, that Maimer can change that situation, because the Isakudat of Maimer, the Bishamai, Koina Kinyan Gomer, if you were to say that this Shammai holds, that Maimer accomplishes a complete Kinyan, so why would we say that only the Diyevit, if they did Yibum, can they stay married? What's the problem? Zem Yasem Maimer V'yitna, let of the two surviving brothers, let one of them do Maimer with one of the women, and in that he'll be Koina her completely, if we were to say that Maimer is Koina Kinyan Gomer, the Zeyasa Maimer V'yitna, and the other one would do the same thing, and then each one now has one woman who he did Maimer with, and the other one, according to the Shammai, would be considered a Chos Ishtoi, and we would say then that they could do Yibum no problem, and yet we're not saying that. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, that shows that even Beis Shammai doesn't hold that Maimer would accomplish things to that extent. Tosfos brings, by the way, that now why wouldn't we say, even why wouldn't we say we have the problem of Osel Levatel Mitzvahs Yivamen? We talked about at the beginning of the parak that one reason to say why the brothers can't do Yibum is because each one of them, if he does Yibum, is making it impossible to do Yibum with the other one, because the other one now becomes a Chos Ishtoi. And then therefore he's the Mevatel Mitzvahs Yivamen. So Tosfos refers to something they said in the previous perek, which is they say that the two brothers could send a shliach jointly to be Mekadosh the two women, to do Maimer with the two women at the same time. In other words, the shliach would give each of the two women a pruta and tell them hareyat mekudoshes to Reuben and Shimon respectively, and therefore, so then we would say that both the so then there's no osel levatel mitzvahs yivamin, because it's all happening at the same time. And yet we see they don't do that. So yet, therefore, we see, we're saying, but Shammai only says that only b'diavad, if they got married to them, if they did Yibum with them, then they can stay married. Showing, therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, that even Beis Shammai doesn't hold that Maimer accomplishes a complete kinyan. But Ramban, by the way, points out that really it wouldn't need to be that both of them do Maimer. It would be enough that one of them does Maimer and then takes away, and then that way that makes a Kinyan Gomer to him, and then she's out of the picture. And then, if we said that according to Beis Shammai, it was Koina Kinyan Gomer, and then the other one doesn't even need that. So the Gemara says, Elamai, so what are you going to say? Fine, so it doesn't make a Kinyan Gomer, but you did say after all, Doicha B'Tzara, you said that it's strong enough to push off the Tzara of being a Chos Kukosai. So fine, Elamai Doicha D'Chia Gemara. So fine, you're going to tell me that it doesn't make a Kinyan Gomer, it only makes a D'Chia Gemara. Still, you should have the same logic. Fine, if according to Beis Shammai, Maimer is enough to accomplish that, then that's all they need. One of them does Maimer, and with that he makes the other one now is considered is now the sister of his Balas Maimer, and therefore we're saying that according to Beis Shammai, she's no longer considered a Chos Kukosai, and he'd be able to do Yibum with her, and the same thing the other way. And yet we're not saying that. So obviously, even if you say that Maimer is only Doicha, even if we said it as at the beginning, that Rabbi Elazar is saying that it's only Koina Lidchis Betzara, then that still doesn't explain why in the beginning of our Perek, Beis Shammai says that only B'diyevet, if they did Yibum, is it okay, but L'chatchila they shouldn't. Why not? All they have to do is each one does Maimer with one of the women, and that way, even L'chatchila, they should be able to get married. Ela Mai Islach Lameimer. So what do you have to answer? You have to answer that even though Maimer accomplishes to be doicha the other one, but only Maimer de Hetera Dochi de Isura Loi Dochi, only a Maimer of Heter pushes off the other one to be from being considered Achos Kukosai, and therefore removes the impediment to doing Yibum with her, the Isura Loi Dochi, but a Maimer of Isur does not. Hochinami, Maimer, Afilu Mandama, Maimer, Koina Kinyan Gomer, the same way we can say, as far as even if we say that it is accomplishing a Kinyan Gomer, Maimer de Heter, Koni de Isur like Koni, but that's only a Maimer of Heter, not of Isur. Now, what do we mean of Heter and of Isur? Rashi explains, doesn't mean that the Maimer itself was an Isur. There's no Isur of doing Maimer to a woman that you're not, that you can't do Yibum with anyway. Rather, de Heter means that where the scenario is, you could have done Yibum if you wanted to. At the time of Maimer, you could have done Yibum. So namely, for example, Where, for example, before the second brother dies, where in our Mishnah, where we said that Levi did Maimer on Shimon's wife, at that point, that's called Maimer de Hetera, not because if he does it after Reuben dies, then he's doing an Isser by the Maimer, but rather because at that point, it's Heter in the sense he would have been Mutter to do Yivum with Shimon's wife. Afterwards, that changes because Reuben died. But at the time when he did Maimer with Shimon's wife, then that was a Maimer of Heter. So that would be where Beis Shammai is saying that that's strong enough that later on when Reuben dies, then his wife is already considered Achos Ishtoi and therefore is Potter. But in the case of the beginning of our Perek with the four brothers, where you have, then we call that Maimer de Isura, because the case is that both brothers, both Reuben and Shimon have died, and now we're talking about Levi and Yehuda doing Maimer, that would be considered Maimer de Isura, because the fact is, neither one of them can do, before they do Maimer, both of them are blocked from doing Yibum with either of the sisters, because Achos Sikukos, Beis Shammai does agree with that concept after all. Therefore, even doing Maimer with them is not strong enough to take that issue away. And therefore it remains that such a mimer would not be strong enough to make it that the sister is not considered achos sikukosei anymore. So in other words, the word datera and isura don't mean that he's doing something that's osur, he's doing something that's motor. It just means that a mimer that's done where he would have been motor to do yibum versus a mimer that's done where before that mimer he would have been osur to do yibum. And the Aruch HaNer discusses and says a different possibility that maybe we're talking over here. If we say yesh zika, then we could say that maybe there is an actual Easter on doing Mimer in such a case. Anyway, okay, so that's all one version of Rabbi Elazar's statement. Rav Ashi Masni Hafi. Rav Ashi learns Rabbi Elazar's statement differently. He says, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Lord Tema Mimer Lebes Shamei Dochi Dechia Gemura. Don't think that according to Beis Shammai, Mimer with the one sister completely pushes away her sister and makes her sister be considered Achos Ishtoi, with Tzarasa Chalitza Nami Loi Boya. That you would say, therefore, that her potential Tzara, in this case her sister, would not even require Chalitza. In other words, don't think, says Rav Ashi in his version of Rabbi Elazar, that because Levi did Mimer with Leah, therefore now when Reuben dies, Rachel is going to be completely Potter. She's not going to need Chalitza or Yibum. Rather, we would say, according to this version, that it pushes off, but it still leaves over something. There's still a vestige of the zika, and therefore, so if Levi went ahead and finished off his and had done not only Maimer with Leah, but then goes on and actually does Yibum with Leah, does Bia with her, sure, then Rachel is going to be Potter because then she's Achos Ishtoi. But Beis Shammai is saying that until that happens, there's still a vestige of the Zika left with Rachel, and therefore she's going to need Chalitza. And Omer Rav Ovin, Afan Nanami Tanena, and again, Rav Ovin says you can prove that from the beginning of our parak. Beis Shammai Omim Yikaimu, where again Beis Shammai said that only if b'dieved they did Yibum, the two surviving brothers, then they can stay married. Yikaimu Ein Lachatchila Loi, implying that they can't. There's no way for them to do Yibum Lachatchila. Well, the Isak Dadach Maimel of Beis Shammai Doicha Dechia Gemura. If you were to say that Maimer, according to Beis Shammai, completely pushes off the other sister and makes it that she's not required to do chalitza or even chalitza with him, well then again, what's the problem? Zemach Yasa Maimer v'Yidcha, v'Zeh Yasa Maimer v'Yidcha. Each one of them can do Maimer with one of the sisters. With that, he'll push off the other one, make it that the other sister is off limits to him and doesn't even require chalitza, and then each one can do Yibum with the one that he did Maimer with. Therefore, that shows that it's still Meshire, it still leaves over some of the Zika, and therefore you're still left with the same problem as before, that each one of them is also Achos Sikukosei. So the Gemara says, V'ela Hokatoni B'Shama Omim Ishtoi. What do you mean, though? So you're telling me that when he does Maimer, we're saying that there's still a vestige of the Zika left, so that in our scenario, he did Maimer with Leah. He did Maimer with Leah, but nevertheless, he's going to need to do, even according to Beis Shammai, he's going to need to do Chalitza with Rachel. But the Mishnah clearly says, Beshamayim Ishto Imoy. Beshamay says that his wife stays with him, namely Leah. He's allowed to, the Maimer is still in effect. And eventually he can follow it up with Yibum. And the other one, Rachel, can go out because of Achos Isha. Go out implies that she's completely potter. She doesn't even need Chalitza. But according to Rav Ashi's version of Rav Elazar, even Beth Shammai is saying that she needs Chalitza. Ella, rather, we can answer, Yevama de Chazil Kulu Chazil Mechtsasa. When a Yevama is, we can answer that no. In fact, it is Dorcha Dechia Gemura. Rav Ashi had started his version of Rav Elazar by saying, don't think that according to Beth Shammai, it's Dorcha Dechia Gemura. It's not. It's Dorcha Omashayer. Rather, we're going to answer that no. In fact, according to Beth Shammai, it is Dorcha Dechia Gemura, but only in the case, we're going to distinguish again between the case of our Mishnah and the case of the first Mishnah of the Perek. Because Yevama de Chazya Lekulo, Chazya Lemitzasa, where the Yevama is available for everything, for Yibum or Chalitza, she's available for Chalitza or for Yibum, so then the Maimer can be effective. And therefore the Maimer has the effect. So in other words, in this case, when Shimon died, Leah was fully available for everything, because at that point, of course, there's no Achos Ishto, because Reuven is still married to Rachel. So therefore, at that point, Leah having been available for Chalitza or for Yibum, then the Maimer is fully effective, is Doicha Dechia Gemura, and makes it that Rachel is absolutely not, that later on when Reuven dies, Rachel is absolutely out of the picture and doesn't need Chalitza or Yibum. But Yevama, like Chazya Lekulu, like Chazya Lemektsasa, but where the Yevama is not accessible for all of them, namely at the beginning of our Perek with the four brothers, where we're talking about that only after Reuven and Shimon died are we dealing with what we do with the Yevamas, where there we're saying you can't do Yibum with either one of them right there on the spot, because each one is his Zekuka, but also Achoy Zekukasa. Then we're saying because she's not accessible for all of it, for Chalitza or Yibum, therefore she's not Chazi, therefore she's not suitable for Mechtsasa, namely for Maimer, and therefore Maimer does not have the strength to remove the Zika completely from her sister. So that's how so not like Rav Oven said, then that the case of the first Mishnah of our Perek is exactly similar to the case of ours. There's a difference. Because in our case, the Yevama, at Leah at the time, was available for everything, whereas in the beginning of our Perek, she was not. So here the Gemara is using a different Lashon. Before it said the expression Maimer de Hetera versus the Isura, now it's using a different Lashon, Chazya Lekulu and Chazya Lemektsasa. So some of Farshim ask why the Gemara is using that different lashon. So one answer is the Orach Haner says that maybe that's because before we were talking according to the opinion yesh zika, and therefore it would be also to do mimer where it breaks the zika for the other one. Whereas here we're talking about according to the opinion ein zika, so it's not a matter of it's only because also levatol mitzvah yivamim, and therefore we can't really call it that it's also to do that mimer. It's just that she's not fully available for everything because of that. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Boi Rabba." Now Rabba has a question. Mimer lebes shaman nisuin oisa oy eris in oisa. According to Beshamai, what does Maimer accomplish? The equivalent of Nisuin, as if they're considered fully married, or Erusin? Now, Tosfos points out, this question is strictly only, according to Tosfos Yishanim, rather, points out, this question is not according to Rabbi Elazar, because according to Rabbi Elazar, we said that, look, it's not Koina Kinyan Gomer, or it's not even Deucha Dechia Gemora, according to the two different Lashonis, so obviously it's not going to be considered the equivalent of Nisuin. We're talking about, according to the opinion of Rav Ami, which we're going to have a few lines further down, and we're going to have down in the middle of the wide lines. Then, according to that opinion of Rav Ami, that he says Maimer Koina Kinyan Gomer. So, to what extent is that Kinyan like the equivalent of Nisuin or of Erusin? Omalei Abaye L'mai Hilchza. So Abaye asked Rabba, regarding what halacha are you talking about? Whether it accomplishes the equivalent of Nisuin or Erusin? Ilema, you're going to say LaYosha, that you're asking whether at that point, having done Mimer, according to Beis Shammai, whether if at that point the Yavama dies, does the Yavam who did Mimer inherit her, Vili Tamela, or that if he's a Kohen, can he be Mitamela Mes for her, is she considered his wife, or La Hofer Nidoreha, or that he can cancel her Nidorim? So Abai says, of course not. Hashta Arusa Ba'alma, even a regular case of Arusa, where the Kiddushin are fully Daraisa, Tony Rabchia, and Rabchia teaches a Braisa, Ishtar Arusa, Loi Oinen Veloi Mitamela, that when his wife is only an Arusa and she dies, he's not considered an oinin for her, in the sense that if he's a koyan, he's not also to eat to be makriv or to eat kodshim, or for that matter, if he's a Yisrael Maisasheni, veloy mitamila, and if he's a koyan, he's not able to become tamei mes for her, because that happens only, that takes effect only after nisuin. V'chein he loy oinenes veloy mitamis loy, vice versa, she's not an oinin to him, so she's not an oinenes for him if he dies, so she would be allowed to continue eating Maisersheni or Kodshim if she's the wife of a Kohen. Veloy mitamis loy, she's not mitame for him. Now, what does that mean? A woman doesn't have an iser of being mitame for a person. So Rashi and Tosfos say two explanations. One is that it means that she doesn't need to, that she's not required to, unlike if they were fully married, where she would be required to become Tomei to help with his burial. The other possibility, Rashi and Tosfos say, what we mean is we're talking during the Shalosh Regalim, where there's a mitzvah, Chayav Adam, Otar Atzmei Beregel. So then, if he was married to her, then that would override that, and she would become Tomei for him. But because there was only Erusin done, then therefore she should not become Tomei for him, because she should remain Tahor, seeing as how it's during the Shalosh Regalim. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Mesa Eina Yosha, if she dies at that point during the Erisin, then her Orus does not Yarshin her, Meshu Goyva Ksubasa. But if he dies, then she collects Ksuba, because we're talking about, the Rashi explains that we're talking about, in the Gemara and Ksuba says that we're talking about where they wrote the Ksuba already after the Erisin. Be that as it may, the point is we see clearly from this Braisa that even a regular Arusa is not considered his wife, for most purposes in halacha. So, over by Mimer and Boya, would you need to say a case where it was only Mimer, where Mimer is surely weaker than regular Kiddushin, since it's only Dirabbanan? The Elul in Mesir Lachopa. So, the question would be regarding, does she need to go into the Chopa? In other words, let's say after this Mimer, before they did Chopa, then he was, which is the Yichud room, let's say, then he had relations with her Baal Korcha. Would that accomplish the Yibum, and therefore now it accomplishes full Yibum, and now a get, for example, would be enough, or do we still say that she needs Chalitza as well? So that would be the question. My Nisuin Oisa, do we say that the Mimer by itself accomplishes Nisuin, and after that there's no, if he's Baal El Baal Kocha, it's a wrong thing of him to do, but the fact is it doesn't change anything as far as her status. It already makes it, the Yibum is a Yibum, and now therefore all she needs is a get. Maybe the Mimer only accomplishes Erusin, therefore you still need Chuppah, which is Biritzoina, and only after that are they fully married. But before that, if they wanted to get divorced, then they would need a get as well as Chalitza. So what is it? So that's Tosfos teaches out, but the question would be, if he did Mimer with her, then he did Bia with her. So now the question is, what is that, and that Bia was Baal Korcha, so what does that accomplish? Does it accomplish the equivalent of Chuppah, or does it accomplish already that the Mimer itself accomplished Nisuin, and therefore they're fully married, or did the Mimer only accomplish Erusin, and we still need Chuppah in order for her to be fully married? Amale, so again, Abai asks him, what are you even asking? Hashta loy ovid ba Mimer, consider that even if he hadn't done Mimer, ksiv yivoma yovei alea, Baal Korcha, we say that midaraisa, all you need is Bia, and that can even be Baal Korcha. Over by Mimer Meboya, do you have to ask a case where he did Mimer? Why would doing Mimer change anything? Obviously, as soon as he does Bia, then the Yibum takes effect. What's the question, whether there was Mimer involved or not? Amalei, so Rabba answers, Shani Omer, yes, but I hold Kol Ha'osa Mimer B'Yivimtoi, when he does Mimer, then at that point the zika of yivamim disappears, and now instead you have a different kind of zika which is the zika of erusin or of nisuin of other women. So therefore, we have the question now. Now, at this point, if he does be a bal karcha, then is it accomplishing? Is it that nisuin was already accomplished, or is it that only erusin has been accomplished? So now, according to, if we take that view of the matter, then that now we have a different kind of zika, then what do we say? What is the mimer? So to what extent does the mimer accomplish? How far does this new zika extend? So, the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to prove from a Mishnah. Shemeres Yavam, when you have a woman who's waiting for Yivam, Ben Yavam Echad Ben Shnei Yavamin, whether there's only one Yavam, where therefore it's a certainty that she's going to be doing Yivam or Chalitza with him, Ben Shnei Yavamin, or whether you have two or more brothers where we don't know which one is going to end up doing Yivam or Chalitza with her, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Yavir, Rabbi Eliezer says one of them can cancel her Nadarim, Rabbi Yeshua Emel Echad V'Lo L'Shnayim. Rabbi Yeshua says only when there's only one potential Yavam, not when there's two, because once there's two, you can't say that she's really tied to one of them more than the other. Rabbi Akiva Emel L'Echad V'Lo L'Shnayim. Rabbi Akiva says in neither case can either one be made for her Nedarim. Vahavin and La. So now we discuss that in Masechta Nedarim. What's the reasons behind those three opinions? Vishlema Rabbi Akiva Sava Ein Zika Afilu L'Chad. Rabbi Akiva, fine, we understand. He holds Ein Zika even when there's only one Yavam, then the Zika is not strong enough to make that there's any kind of marital relationship between them, so therefore he can't be made for her Nedarim no more than any other stranger for him. Rabbi Yeshua, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, we would say L'Chad Yesh Zika L'Tirei Ein Zika. Rabbi Yeshua would say that only when there's one brother, then we can say Yesh Zika, because then it's inevitable she's going to be doing Yibum or Chalitza with him. But if there's two or more brothers, then not. But why does Rabbi Eliezer say that even when there's two Yavamim, they could be made for her Nedarim? Nihi Nami de Kasava Yesh Zika. Even if he holds that there exists Zika and it's considered the beginning of something, Bishlema Lachad Mefer, I understand why one of them would be, if there's only one brother, he can be made for her Nedarim. Elo L'Trei Amai, why if there are two? The fact is, we don't know which one is going to end up doing Chalitza or Yibum with her. So why should we say when there are two that either one could be made for her Nedarim? There's no such thing as a woman having two husbands. But Omer of Ami Ba'ava, Hoch of Maya Skinan. So Rab Ami explains that we're talking about over here. It's not just that there's the Zika as is, because going to Ovid Ba'Mimer, the case of that Mishnah is where he had done Mimer with her, like in our Mishnah, Ovid Shama, he done a Mimer Kona Kinyan Gomer. And therefore, that Mishnah is following the opinion of Beis Shammai, that Mimer Kona Kinyan Gomer. So therefore, so we're not talking about, in other words, that there's two potential ones where either of them equally well could be doing Yibum with her. We're talking about one of them actually started the process by doing Mimer. So now, Rabbi Eliezer is saying he can be made for her Nedarim. So now let's figure out, now let's see how this relates to Rabbi's question. If you say that Mimer accomplishes Nisuin, Mishamachi Mefer, well, that explains. Once the equivalent of Nisuin has been done, then he can be made for Hunadarin. Ela Iamat Erusinosa. But if you were to say that Mimer only accomplishes the equivalent of Erusin, Hechi Mati Mefer, how would he be able to be made for Hunadarin anyway? Vatnan, Naira Hamer. We learn in a Mishnah there in Nedarim that when it comes to a Naira HaMairasa, you need jointly, her father and her husband have to jointly be made for her Nedarim. Neither one can do it by herself. So why would over here, just because Maimer was done, why would that make it? Why would that make the Yavam's position any stronger? Obviously, you have to say, therefore, in order to make Rabbi Eliezer's opinion work, that Yofer, implying that he can be Mefer by himself, obviously the answer would be that it accomplishes Nisuin, that the Maimer accomplishes Nisuin. The answer is Amar Nachman Yitzchok, that doesn't prove anything, because my Mefer b'shurus. Because maybe when Rabbi Eliezer says Mefer, he doesn't mean that he can do it exclusively. He means that the Yavam who did Mimer stands in the place of the Arus, and therefore he has half the ability to be Mefer. Her father still has the other half, but we're not focusing on that. We're talking about, does he have any rights at all? Where Rabbi Akiva says none at all, and Rabbi Yeshua says only if there's one Yavam, not two. And now Rabbi Eliezer is saying, doesn't matter how many Yavamim there are, once one of them did Mimer, he becomes her Arus, and therefore he's the one who stands in the place of an Arus, where he has that right of, together with her father, of being made for the garden. So that doesn't necessarily prove anything. In other words, about Rabbi's question. Okay. So the Gemara says, rather, let's go back to Rabbi Lazar, who said, he says that even according to Bishamai, now Rabbi Ami is telling us over here, according to Bishamai. Rabbi Lazar, we said before, disagrees with that and says that it's not Kona Kinyan Gomer, it's only doicha the tzara. It only makes it that the tzara is considered achos ishtoi. Well then, amai made for b'shurkus. Then how would we understand that? Why would Rabbi Eliezer the Tana be saying that the one who did maimer is able to be made for her nedarim even together with her father? After all, according to Rabbi Eliezer's understanding of Beshamai, he wasn't kona any kind of kinyan gomer anyway. The answer is. Omalach Rabbi Lazar and Eimer de Amri are not in a kona ever lichus the tzara bovad by sagil of a gita. Rabbi Lazar will say, you know, when I said that according to Bishamai it's not kona and it only is doich of the tzara, what I meant was by sagil of a gita ella boy nami chalita. It means, in other words, I'm saying that if after having done the mimer with this woman he wanted to divorce her, then it's not enough to do a get for the mimer. He also still needs to do chalita because there still exists a zika as well. There still exists a zika of Yibum as well. I never said anything about that. I never said anything about what it would be as far as to be made for Hunadorim. So I would hold that no, I would hold that he can't be made for Hunadorim. The Iboyasema, Omalach Rabbi Lazar. Another way of understanding it is Rabbi Lazar would say, after all, is it so smooth according to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, who says that it means that they're made for the shurkus, that the Yavam himself doesn't have the exclusive right? Mikatoni Yafeiru, after all, the expression is not Yafeiru, they can cancel an adorim. Yafir Katoni, it says he can, implying that Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, is saying that he has exclusive rights to. Ela hochav ma'askinan. Rather, Rabbi Lazar is going to say, Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, is going to say, you know what? You know what's going on over here? What we mean is the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says yofer exclusively is sha'om debadin. The case is that they went to Beis Din. She told the yavam, you know, it's time. You need to do yibum u'chalitza with me and then get this over with. Which we're going to learn in the next parak about that. So she takes him to Beis Din. Upaskul amizonis mishaloi, and Beis Din said she's right that. Let's say, for example, the Yavam runs away because he doesn't want to do Yibum with her and he doesn't want to do Chalitza, so he runs away. So then Beis Din considers it to that purpose as if they were already married and therefore he's responsible to support her. So in that sense, he's considered her husband. And therefore, so that gives him rights to be made for her nedarim, b'chidr Pinchas mishmei d'rabba, namely on the basis of what Rabbi Pinchas says in the name of Rabba, d'omer Pinchas mishmei d'rabba, kol anederes al-das baila, he nederes, when a woman makes a neder, she has in mind that she's making it only on the das of her husband, and therefore, in this case, in other words, only if he agrees to it, and therefore, since over here, once the Yavam finds out that she made a neder and he cancels it, obviously she didn't want it. So therefore, to begin with, her neder in effect was made on that tonight. So it doesn't really matter whether he's considered her husband for all purposes in halacha or not. Either way, by the same token, as if she were to say that I'm making a neder on condition that Pliny agrees with it, then if Pliny doesn't agree, it's not a neder. Well, over here, he's Pliny. Not because he's her husband, but rather just because she made the neder on his das. And that, in turn, is predicated on the fact that she's responsible now to support her, and therefore, to that extent, we consider him her husband. But not necessarily that we would say that for any other purpose, it makes them, according to Rabbi Lazar, it would make them considered husband and wife. We say that only, according to Beis Shammai, only insofar as her sister is considered achos ishtoi, and therefore doesn't require chalitza or yibum. Tosfos adds, by the way, within this machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, the underlying reason why we would say then that each one of them would say their opinion is because Rabbi Yeshua, it's true that Maimah was done, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says the fact is, even once one of them did Maimah with her, nevertheless, if one of the other brothers were to do Bia with her or to give her a get, then nevertheless, he would still passel her to her Yavam. We're going to learn about such scenarios in more detail later in our Masechta. Therefore, the fact that there exists another Yavam is reason enough to not consider that the Maimah to have accomplished so much, because it can be undone by one of the brothers. And Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, holds the fact is that even after Maimer, she's still not. If somebody else were to be Mezana with her, she wouldn't be considered like a Naira Marasa. She wouldn't be Chayav Skila. Therefore, it's not strong enough for him to have any power to be made for her Nedarim, even though he is responsible, as we're saying over here, for supporting her. Okay.